Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes from the hill. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your feet be moved. He will help keep you from. He will help keep you not slender. Behold who keeps Israel. Will neither slender nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. On your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil and keep you in your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
All right.
Those of you who are visiting, thank you for coming, being here. It's a little different. Instead of just having me talk, I'm interviewing Emily Belvery. We're going to keep our distance because we do that. Are we on the thing? Very good. So here's your thing. Emily is from Mission of Christ Network, and I've known of this organization for many years. It sends a lot of young people. I noticed on your website, a lot of the people are young, to 14 different countries all over the world. Most of the people, if not all the people, are not like me. They're not pastors. They're people like you. They get undergrad degrees and all kinds of things. But I wanted to interview you just because I want you to be aware of what's going on through this organization and others that are like it, and to just give you a sense of how God might be calling you. And it might be a special call to doing something overseas in an entirely different culture. So thanks for being with us today, Emily. So this, the Old Testament reading is really a big part of your heart, especially verses 1, 2, and 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's a key verse for you. So talk to us about why that's a key verse for you.
Yeah. I think if living and working overseas teaches you anything, it's that our help comes from the Lord, that we have nowhere else to turn. Especially when you're away from family and friends, prayer is not a last resort. It's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Taiwan, I could see the mountains when it wasn't too smoggy, so I would lift my eyes up to the hills and remember God's presence, but especially that last verse, that he keeps your going out and your coming in. And over the last 6 years of going back and forth between the U.S. and Asia, it was a lot of coming and going, mm-hmm. goodbyes and hellos, and having your heart in many places, and remembering that God keeps us through all of those.
Just a really deep sense of, Lord, I need you today, especially mm-hmm. when you're in a different culture and building relationships. And so talk to us about how you ended up 6 years in Asia. How was that call on your heart to do this? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian family. My dad taught at a Christian university. I went to a Christian school. I always say, like, as a small child, I think I knew there were people out there who didn't believe in Jesus, but I didn't actually know any of them. One experience I do remember is as a kid having a lemonade stand, and there was a Jewish synagogue not too far away. And some of the members came after worship on Saturday, and I was asking my mom about these people and why they were wearing funny hats and all of this sort of thing, and recognizing that these were people who didn't know Jesus just really struck me that it wasn't just an abstract thing, but there were real people who didn't have a relationship with the Savior. Asia wasn't really on my radar. I studied Spanish growing up. Probably like most Americans, I knew a little bit of Spanish. That was my foreign language. But God kind of surprised me with that. I think I have a picture of Karen, a Christmas picture. In college, I had the opportunity to go to China for a few weeks in the summer to teach English. My student taught in Hong Kong. And then this student, Karen, came from China to, I went to Concordia in Seward, Nebraska. And I tutored her in the writing center, got to know her a little bit. And one day she asked me, do you think I can stay in the dorms over Christmas? And as an American, I was like, oh, that's horrible. I don't know if the university will allow it, but no, you can't. You can't spend Christmas in a dorm room. And so she came home with me for Christmas, which was just a really special experience. Growing up in, her parents were atheist, communist. She'd never heard the gospel, never experienced Christmas. And I know this is my mom and Karen baking cookies. And I know it was a sacrifice for my mom because that was 2013, and that was the last Christmas I spent with my family because I've been in Asia for 6 years. But my mom was willing to welcome her in so that we could share the good news of Christmas with someone else and learn from her, too.
I'm just fascinated how, when I hear your story and other stories, how God takes little experiences and weaves them together to give direction and meaning. And, you know, a lemonade stand, a Christmas moment, being at a writing center, and just, you know, opening your heart to different possibilities. And God uses all those experiences. So, yeah. Now, when you actually, like, signed on the dotted line, you're like, okay, I am a single person at the time. I'm going to go to Asia. It's a two-year commitment, right? Mm-hmm. Were you told me earlier that you just knew your heart was in a great place. Was that a lot of prayer going into that? Describe that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. God just gave me a sense of that calling.
Yeah. Have you always been adventurous?
I guess so.
Okay.
I like new things.
Okay.
But it wasn't so much adventure. Like, there are lots of ways you can travel and have adventures, but it was a sense of calling to go and share the gospel with people.
Yeah. And that's what's about the Mission in Christ Network. It's really about focusing on sharing the gospel. It's not just about human care, which is really, really important. That's part of it. But it's actually looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah, the phrase we use is intentional gospel proclamation. Not just, I hope at some point I'll get to share Jesus, but looking for those opportunities, making sure every mission position has those built in.
So you called yourself, and I know that on your website, all of the people who are all over the world are called mission partners. Not missionaries, they're called mission partners. Can you explain that?
Yeah. If you want to skip ahead a couple slides, there's a picture of our mission partners. This is 2019. We weren't able to gather in person this summer, as you can imagine. I think partnership is really at the heart of Mission of Christ Network. We're not going to start something new. We're working in partnership with international organizations, whether that's like a Taiwanese school or a Chinese church or a Cambodian social organization or a Hungarian school. We're working with Christians from the local culture who are already doing ministry and just need people to come help with that. And so I think as a mission partner, it's a wonderful freedom that it's not my job to go change the world and tell people about Jesus and make them believe. It's God's mission that he's been doing before I arrived in Taiwan and has continued doing after I left, and that happens in community with other Christians.
Yeah, and I think that's really key, that you're part of a team. There's people already there to help you get settled, to help you navigate this new world and life that you're in. You're not just, you know, planted. You're really kind of set up to succeed because there's people that are already there.
Yeah.
And you're part of something that's ongoing. I think that's really, really cool.
And from the U.S. side, MCN's job is just to train and support. So the advantages of going with an organization, like the school I went to in Taiwan originally would just hire Americans to come and teach. But having MCN's support, I got to go through cultural training before I went. They have missionary care people who checked in to see how we were doing and pray with us and kind of take care of us spiritually. And then as far as security, obviously this year with COVID, everyone was very aware of safety and security around the world, and so MCN is keeping track of what's happening all over the world and making sure that if we need to evacuate, we can, or that security is in place.
So you mentioned teaching a couple times. You're sharing the gospel in these different places, and I know this is a really hard question to ask because ministry in Romania will look very, very different than Taiwan because maybe they have different resources, but what does a day look like in the life of a mission partner? What could a day look like?
Yeah. It's true. Every place is different, and even in one place, every day is different. I think there aren't a lot of concrete skills you need to be a mission partner, but flexibility might be one of them. Although even that, God can work in you, because I would not have called myself a flexible person in college, and God has definitely changed that. Just a few examples. The first couple pictures are from Costa Rica. This one, actually, my brother is kind of in the middle, the gringo, the white guy. this is his boxing club that he hangs out and learns how to box. The next picture is him with a soccer team. He joined a local soccer team. I think wherever our mission partners go, the things that you're interested in, that you like to do, are great places to build relationships. And the same is true here as God calls you into mission at UNL. Wherever you interact with people around things that you enjoy, there's opportunities to share the gospel. So my brother was a math major in college. He works with a guy who was a science major, and his wife who majored in Spanish. And they do a lot of community engagement stuff.
Yeah.
You can keep going. There's more pictures of other places. Sarah is a missionary in Hungary. She is married to a Hungarian, and a lot of her ministry revolves around being a mom. She has small kids, and so she leads a mother preschoolers group, where primarily she helps moms share their stories and support each other as they deal with the challenges of parenthood. But then they also have the chance to share the gospel and to help people meet Jesus. Where I was in mainland China, it was a lot of individual ministry. I served at a church, but beyond that, a lot of mission work in China doesn't come through official venues. There's a lot of security concerns, but individual relationships. So it's a lot of hearing people's stories and praying with them and sharing from my own life what it looks like to live daily life as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Well, we do have lots of teachers. Amanda here taught in a Hungarian school. Now she's in an international school in Ukraine. So lots of mission opportunities for teachers as well.
You know, I'm glad you made that connection between what that looks like and what our life looks like here. Because, and Marky has been one of the best teachers of this, Marky Meyer, my buddy. He's like, what do you already like doing and just do it with other people? So Marky Meyer gets kayaks. He buys a bunch of kayaks and he's like, I like to kayak. And so he invites people to kayak with him. And so he's really rubbed off on me in terms of like, what do you already like doing? I like to brew beer and just do it with other people, that kind of thing, you know? That's a really cool way to get to know people and just see where the gospel goes. So so you mentioned some things about there's a vast variety. Can you pinpoint for us some key joys and challenges in terms of what it looks like to be a mission partner?
Yeah. As I thought about this, pretty much everything was relational, both the positives and the challenges. Just built some incredible relationships with people who were willing to share their hearts and lives. And getting to see God change those hearts is incredible. If you want to go to the next picture. This is my roommate in Taiwan, Kiki, and she was baptized while I was there. It was probably one of the best days of international ministry. And I got to live next door to her. She didn't speak any English, so she was great for my Mandarin. She was a very patient listener and good at guessing my gestures. But I remember having conversations with her right before she was baptized because she was really nervous that there were still things she didn't understand and wasn't sure she believed. And I told her, there are still things I don't understand and I'm not sure how to explain. If we had to pass a test to become Christian, all of us would be lost. But baptism is God's grace in choosing us as his child. And so seeing her experience, that was great. This is Shinee. She's Mongolian, but I met her in Taiwan. And when I met her, she had just received a new Mongolian Bible. It was only the second Mongolian translation. The first one had been translated from English using a really archaic version of Mongolian, so she had to ask her grandparents what all of these words meant. But she finally had a Bible that was in language that she understood. And I just gained so much from her excitement and her questions. Lots of them that were really different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, I think when you do international ministry, the answers that we think we come equipped with don't usually match the questions that people have.
Yeah.
But that's a great chance to learn and grow. As we say, I don't know, I've never asked that question before, but let's go to God's word and see what he says.
Yeah.
For her, it was a lot about place. Where can you talk to God and where can you worship God? Like she was shocked to hear that I prayed while I rode my bicycle. She's like, can you do that if you're not sitting down inside a church building?
Yeah.
So, talking about some of those things.
And God just blesses you, sprinkles these relationships into your life as you're open to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the relationship challenges.
Yeah. Teaching was both a joy and a challenge. The school I taught at was all Taiwanese students, maybe 20% Christian, which is high for the island. That's only 5% Christian, but low for your typical Christian school. So I was teaching Bible classes to kids who had never heard of Jesus, and many of whom their parents told them, go learn English from the Americans, but don't listen to what they say about the Bible. And so that was a challenge. This class, actually, in particular, they were very bright students, but they really liked to challenge, like, why is eternal life so great? I thought life was precious because it's short. I don't care if I live forever. Or... Yeah. You know, how can we be sure about this stuff? I have tests to get into high school. That's what I'm really worried about. I'm not so worried about my spiritual life.
Yeah, right.
If you go to the next one, you can keep going, actually. We'll skip that. Another relationship challenge is distance. This is my sister and my cousin at a Christmas family gathering, and I'm on the computer screen. It's hard. You just have to yeah. be honest about that. Yeah. Being away from family is hard.
Right.
And this was my Chinese tutor, who I'm still praying for that she will believe someday, Mary. She has heard the gospel for 20 years, and she tells me maybe she will be a Christian in her next life. Mm. She hopes her son becomes a Christian. She's happy when her friends become Christian, but just can't believe for herself.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that struggle is handing it back to God and saying, okay, the mission is yours. You are the only one who can create faith. I love these people, and I know that you love them. Help them believe.
Right. So now you're married, and how long have you been married?
2 years.
So was your husband also a Mission of Christ Network guy?
No.
Okay.
He was teaching in Nebraska, and then married me, and a month later we moved to China. So.
Okay, gotcha. Ooh, man, talk about a honeymoon. So then now you go from that experience of being overseas to the metropolitan area of Columbus, Nebraska. And so how is it like I'm asking the question about your mission experience there, now your mission experience in a small Nebraska Midwest town. What carries over? How do you see God working in that experience now in your new experience?
Yeah, it's really different. I was in a Chinese city of 22 million people to 22,000 in Columbus. But I think what's the same is that if you love God and you love people, then you have a mission where you are. And really, I think the heart of that is God working in us a love for the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, that love is for a lot of 80-year-old people that I do senior home health care for, crotchety old farmers, and and God's working in me a love for them and a desire to understand the needs of their hearts.
Yeah.
I think missions has taught me how much the mission is God's, that there's a lot of times I don't have the answers and I don't know how to be persuasive in sharing faith, but it doesn't rely on that. I don't have to defend God. I don't have to explain the Bible in a way that makes it make perfect sense to someone. That's the Holy Spirit's work. I just get to show up, share what God has done for me, share in people's lives, and let him work.
Yeah. I really connect with your prayer of, Lord, help me to love these people. I mean, deeply love them. I think that's a part of Marky and I, when we pray walk, we do that, like, Lord, help me to love students. Help me to love young people problems. Help me to love their mystery of, you know, how they relate. And just, we have to pray that into ourselves. And if that's not well-watered, it's kind of like we're kind of just doing a job, but we're not really on mission. So that is really cool to hear. That you've had to just bring that back to these crankety old farmers. I look at Andrew New Year because he's not cranky and he's not old, but his day's coming, you know. So I mean, yeah. So all right. So we know that people here, people who are watching online, let's say there's something within a young person's heart that's stirring. What could be their next step? What could be a next step?
Yeah. Definitely pray about it. God answers those prayers. So many times, specifically while I was overseas, I would pray. Like, I remember one morning getting on the bus praying, okay, God, open my eyes today to people that you want me to talk to. And someone literally the next bus stop sat down next to me, asked where I was from, asked why I was in Taiwan, and then said, oh, I have all these questions about Jesus. And it shouldn't shock me that God answers those prayers, but he really does. So if you have a heart for doing mission, whether that's in Nebraska or on the other side of the world, pray about it, and God will nurture that. And talk to me. I'll be around for lunch. I would love to share more stories, to hear your stories. I have papers in the back with my contact information, also Mission of Christ Network. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, look at the website, stuff like that. If you want to take a picture of this, you can, or the papers are there. There's also descriptions of some of the places where we most often need mission partners, so you can look at those. And
awesome.
I'll hang around. I'd love to talk more.
Thank you. Can we thank her? Thank you. Yeah, awesome. I want to pray. Okay.
Can I finish with one thing?
Yeah.
Can you find the picture of the sign? I'm wearing a bicycle helmet. That one. So this is the school that I taught at in Taiwan, and it took me about 2 years to learn enough Mandarin to realize that this sign in the front of the school says, "Ni chu ni ru, Yehohua hui bao hu ni, tong jin shi zhi dao yong yuan," which is Psalm 121:8. The Lord will keep your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. And that was, it had been the name of my blog. It was a verse I'd prayed about a lot before I left for Taiwan. And it was right there, even if I didn't know how to read it at first.
That's awesome. That's a great way to wrap this up. Thank you very much. Let me pray. Lord, stir in our heart a love for the people in our lives. We have places that we work and that we live, places where we play, places where we study. You're planting these people in our lives right now. Help us to love them, and help us to love them in you. Give us courage and confidence to be joyful in our salvation. We're not pushy. We're not off-putting. We're socially, have a good social IQ, but we're joyful in the love and the freedom and the forgiveness that we have in you. And we just talk about it and we celebrate it. So Lord, give us that kind of spontaneity and courage. But really it all starts, Lord, from your love for us, that you came and lived and died and rose and you forgive us. And we're on the receiving end of that love, and we use that love to care for others. So bless us, Lord Jesus, in the places that we live, work, and play. And Lord, if you plant a seed of overseas mission in someone's heart, I pray that you would water it. Water, 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 water. Water it, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, part of our worship together is setting aside. We do this every time. And here's what I'd like for you to think about. There are cards on your chair, and there's pens on your chair. And here's the question I'd like for you to think about. What's your next step? What's your next step in sharing Jesus with someone you care about? What's your next step? What does that look like? So take some time. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and then we'll continue on with our worship together. Thank you so much, Emily, for being with us. Okay? What's your next step? Gracious Lord, as we approach Holy Communion, we confess our sins. We acknowledge our thoughts and our actions, the things we've said that we can't take back, the actions that we've done, the things that we didn't do that we needed to do. Lord, you know the record of our heart, and confessing is not about beating ourselves up. It's about being honest. And it's about receiving Forgiveness. So Lord, help us to confess. And in light of today's theme, Lord, I want to confess one specific area that I know plagues me, and I know it plagues so many of us, if not all of us. And that's the sin of fear. Lord, we sit on buses, we sit in parks, we sit in places where we live and work and play. And I know because of COVID, a lot of us sit more alone than we've ever sat before. But Lord, we have a fear, and here's that fear. I can't talk to that person because I don't know them. And so we sit in silence. I can't move towards that person because I don't know them. That would be weird. That would be awkward. You just don't do that. Lord, we confess our fear of stepping out, our fear of smiling at strangers, our fear of picking up conversations with people we don't know, our fear of being kind and available and just generous with our own hearts and the lives of others. We confess that fear. And Lord, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how you're going to work in the midst of this, but Lord, help us to be less fearful, to be more in the moment. Lord, I think often when I see myself and I see others just on our phone, it's because we're afraid of being in the moment with people around us. Help us to be more in the moment, to be more available. Maybe, just maybe, Lord, you're opening up countless opportunities to love, care, serve, and share the gospel with other people, and we're just not seeing it. So, Lord, that's what we confess. And we just ask for you to work baby steps, 2 degrees at a time, in what it looks like for us to be live more in the moment in the lives of other people. We pray this, Lord, in your great name, as you have taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, a great word of forgiveness is from 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, people of God, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. You are forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you, gave his life, bore your sin, and rose again. That's who you are in Christ. Your past, you can learn from it. You can grieve it. You can't do it over again. But the Lord has forgiven you of it. And so live in that forgiveness. Live in that newness. Know for certain that the guilt and the shame of your life has been paid for on the cross of Christ as a pure gift for you. Do I hear an amen for that? Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way also, he took a cup of wine and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This wine is my blood. It's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a new covenant, a promise." And he said, again, "Do this often to remember me." And so we do that often. We want to obey the command of Christ because we believe that it is the body and blood of Christ. We don't understand that, but Jesus chooses to place himself in ordinary bread and wine for me. So I know that I'm forgiven. I know that Jesus lives in me. I know that he gave his life for me. And so if you've never received instruction about Holy Communion, or if I'm talking in a way that just doesn't make sense to you, you don't quite agree with it, it's perfectly okay to stay in your seat. And the Bible also says is that if you're wrestling with unresolved sin, especially unresolved forgiveness of another person, the Bible says first, go talk to the person, work on reconciling that relationship, and then receive the sacrament, because you can actually do harm to yourself. But I want you to know that if you choose to not come forward, that's perfectly okay. You can stay seated and just pray, okay? But if you choose to come forward, you keep your mask on, you enter through this area, you grab your piece of bread, you grab your wine, and you keep your mask on, you find a place here, take your mask off, receive the sacrament, and then you put your empty cup in this white basket. And if you have still your setting aside card, you can also put it in here. The one part of the setting aside that has your name, email address, and phone number is really for me. I would love for you to give me your name. I pray over these cards on Monday morning, and it helps me get to learn your name. So if you would do that as well, you just put that in this basket as well. But welcome now to the Lord's table. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. All right. I'm going to have Amo come up, and we'll finish this off with some announcements. And then we'll have our meal prayer and our final song.
All right. So we have Bible huddles on Wednesday night at 8:30, and it's here in the chapel. And it's just basically we're in different groups, and we break down a Bible verse, and then we share it aloud. And then we also have conversation partners, which is where you meet with an international student, and you basically help them with their English, and you do it over Zoom for about an hour, and then you can either talk to PB or Mark about it. And then if you want to do prayer walks, you can contact PB or Mark, and that's about like an hour where you go and just talk to them about God and just have conversation with them. And then don't be a stranger. We have social medias on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can follow to get more information about what's going on in the church. And then if you want to do the weekly offering, you can go onto the chapel's website, and you go to the Connect page, and you can do a physical donation there. And then if you're interested in the worship team or the audio and you want to volunteer, you can contact India. And then so here we have the discipleship team. And that's just basically where you get like a leader, and they go through your spiritual journey with you. And it's about one time a week for an hour. And then here at the chapel, there's study spaces. It could either be downstairs or here in the back hallway. And it's a great quiet place to be at and to get homework done. And then here's PB's contact if you don't already have it.
Thank you. A couple other ones that I just became mindful of. One is Mark has 4 kayaks, and he's allowing you to borrow them. So if you want to borrow his kayaks and go kayaking with some friends, just see Marky Meyer, and he's willing to hook you up there. Another one is next Sunday we're starting a new series called Jesus Never Said. And there are things that Jesus never said. And the first one is Jesus never said you won't have bad days. So we're going to talk about different things that Jesus never said. That's starting next Sunday. So let's pray for our meal. By the way, we're having ham and potato soup. Woohoo! And we're having taco soup. Kind of like not too spicy, but a taco fiesta. Enchilada soup is what it's called, enchilada soup. So please, I hope you can stay. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we pray for our meal. We pray that you would nourish our body with this food, and that we would sit around table and just have great conversations with old friends and new friends. So, Lord, help us to be more like a family. We are the body of Christ. Help us to know one another better. And I know, Lord, it's hard to know new people, but that happens, you know, one moment at a time. So I pray, Lord, that this meal would be one of those moments where we step out in faith, we get to know somebody a little new, and we enjoy a good meal together. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be family. We pray this in your name, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The blessing is from Romans 15. The Apostle Paul says this. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.